time to talk wine. Message in the bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in Bangor between Massimo's and Fiddlehead Restaurant, and Crossroads Beverage Company at 66 Main Street in Newport, right behind Rite Aid, just off the Moosehead Trail. Eric Meehan right here in studio with us, braving these storm of the century conditions.
Hi, Rich. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you? Welcome back.
I'm great. Storm of the century for at least now. Yeah.
It's a young century.
It's a very young century.
Right off the top, before we get to whatever you wanted to talk about today,
yeah,
you know, we asked people for questions and we got one.
I didn't mean to do that. Did
I know. I think that was a mistake.
I was unprepared.
This comes to us through the emails, and you can email us with questions, downtownwithrichkimble@gmail.com, or post them on the Facebook page as well. This comes from Kim in Brewer, and she says, last week you were talking about inexpensive wines. In your opinion... Yours, not mine.
Right.
What are the qualities that make a good wine, regardless of price?
Well, Kim, I've been thinking about this for at least 3 or 4 seconds, and I've come up with a very deep and considered answer. No, that's not true. Rich actually gave me a little warning, and I was thinking about this. No, it's a real simple thing. For no matter what you spend, I think we can all agree that there's excess, and then there's the opposite of excess. somewhere in between lies really good winemaking, no matter if you're talking about a $10 bottle or a $600 bottle. There's very often, I think, I'm from New Jersey, yeah, originally, and so don't hold that against me.
Nope, not yet.
Thank you. There's a very famous meat product that comes from New Jersey called Taylor's Pork Roll, right? And basically, when people ask me what it is, I say it's pork bits with a lot of spices, and the reason is it was invented at a time when those pork bits you might have might not be the freshest pork bits, and those spices are going to cover up whatever there is. And very often that's what's going to happen in inferior winemaking as well. You're going to have excessive tastes of things like oak, especially oak, because
but not pork bits. Maybe.
I've definitely had some wines and beers that have smoky essences, bacony essences, but God willing, they weren't aged with it.
I hope not.
Very often you'll see winemaking in ways that sort of is trying to cover up bad fruit, flaws and things like that. And so I would say that the way that you would tell good wine is, does it still taste like what it is, which is, in essence, fermented grape juice? If there's no essence of fruit, if it doesn't taste... There's actually a word. When I was very lucky enough to travel in Spain and meet some really excellent winemakers, and a word came up there that I recognized from our own language, but not from the winemaking language, the winemaking canon, which was fresh. When we all go into a supermarket, we want our salads, our salad makings to be fresh, right? The lettuce and the peppers and things like that. But we don't consider wine to be something that we want fresh, despite the fact that it's an agricultural product, and it really is. Mm. And when you start to have wine that tastes like it has life left to it, you really start to enjoy it quite a bit more, I think, especially when you, of course, pair it with things that also have life left in them, like fresh vegetables and good meats and things like that. So I would say that over any other quality, really you want balance. And you can attain balance in a bottle that doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. You can attain balance. You better attain balance in a wine that costs you the price of a small Oldsmobile. to that point, people often ask me, actually, the exact opposite of that is, you know, Eric, I spent $75 on a bottle of wine and it really disappointed me, or, you know, blah, 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 I was out. And, you know, a winemaker, regardless of what they're going to sell, and they know what they're going to sell that bottle for, they know what they're going to sell that wine for, really needs to achieve harmony, achieve balance, just like you want in any other thing you buy, be it your car. We were talking about spinning out on the road before. You know, you want something with sensible all-wheel or front-wheel drive, things like that. And weather like this, you want a bottle of wine that's also balanced.
There you go.
There you go.
Thanks for the question.
Thanks, Kim.
Perfect.
Keep them coming.
All right, what are we talking about? You have a bottle, and it's open here.
So we're doing something daring. We're going to start to taste one of the biggest... issues that we have, of course, in our store is that because of alcohol regulations, we cannot simply open a bottle of wine for people to taste at any given time. We do, of course, have our monthly tastings, and we are having our monthly tasting on the third Wednesday of every month at Bangor Wine and Cheese and the third Friday of every month at Crossroads Beverage. So that means, although it's kind of a wonky month, but next week we'll be having them at both, even though the Friday is, I think, technically the second Friday because of how the year started. We always try to open bottles, but we're going to be opening a bottle every week now on downtown with
Love
Rich
it.
Kimball. And so this month we're talking about value wines. And so last week we started to talk about the Centauri Moscato. Of course, we were talking about how Americans like sweet wines quite well. And Moscato is a grape. It is, in fact, one of the most planted grapes in the world. It is very often made sweet, though it can be fermented dry. And so we're gonna try a very nice, inexpensive Moscato here today.
Wonderful.
And see what we think. And we're also going to talk a little bit about how to taste wine. And I'll revisit this topic a lot. Wine, of course, is, you know, a liquid. And Americans have sort of a flaw in that we don't really like to smell what we drink. Just witness Pepsi. The next time you guys take a drink of your favorite carbonated beverage, take a sniff of it and see if it actually smells like anything, because I think you'd be surprised and find that it doesn't. But
I'm sniffing.
You're sniffing. Mm. So I'm sure a lot of you out there in Radioland have seen all of us wine snobs swirl our wine. The reason we swirl our wine is to release the esters that are trapped in the wine. The esters are those things that hit your olfactory nerves and your schnoz and tell you if you're smelling something that smells like bacon or grandma's apple pie or something less desirable than that. And so that's a chemical reaction that's happening when those esters are hitting that oxygen and you're swirling it around, and then they get sort of popped up into the air and your nose gets to smell them. And so I always say, swirl it around, smell it, and then taste. And I don't know what you're tasting on this, but Moscato classically has a lot of very orange tropicality to it. Really pleasant. And most Moscato is made frothy. This is kind of frothy, right?
Yeah,
kind of bubbly, but not.
And what we talked about earlier, fresh. It smells fresh.
There you go. I mean, that's really crucial. You know, you want something that's going to excite you, you know, invite you back for that second taste.
That's very good.
Pretty nice, yeah?
That is very good.
And this is the sort of thing that very often, you know, people who are making that transition away from perhaps the soft drinks and things like that that aren't so good for you into a wine that frankly is pretty decent for you, provided you consume it in moderation. So that's a really delightful thing, and we'll be talking a lot about that sort of thing. And also, we were talking again last week, just to revisit the topic, we were talking about why certain wines are better values, and this is, as we talked about last week, from the region of Pavia. Pavia is a little more east than the well-known Moscato-producing regions in the world. It's in the former kingdom and current region of Lombardy, Italy. It was a very war-torn area. And if any of you folks have ever been to Italy or any other parts of Central Europe, which were very war-torn for hundreds and hundreds of years, you'll know that all the fortified towns are built up on hills. Well, the slopes of those hills made marvelous, marvelous vineyards. And so a lot of these places, even if they're sort of off the map, viticulturally speaking, still have a pretty long viticultural history. They just might not have had the best marketing teams in the past 100 years. And so now we're starting to see wines like this coming in at, as I said, this is $12 on the shelf. Really delightful.
All right, so if anyone would like to try this stuff into Bangor Wine and Cheese or at Crossroads and give it a try, and again, it's a Moscato, and who makes it?
Centauri stands for 100 Towers, of which there are in Pavia.
That is delightful.
Yeah, and we'll help you out with all sorts of Moscatos or other sweet wines or dry wines, whatever you like. And do try to come by our tastings next week, and we also have a special Smutty Nose Rocky Road beer tasting tomorrow. Wednesday at Bangor Wine and Cheese, and then Friday at Crossroads. And then also, shameless plug, at Nocturnum on Saturday night, my band 161 is playing.
Oh, fantastic.
And we rule.
There's no question about it in my mind. That's wonderful. All right, we're just going to take a little break and keep drinking wine, because that's what we do. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you. Be well.
Message in the bottle. Eric Meehan here from Bangor Wine and Cheese and Crossroads. It is 5:33. When we come back, we'll talk.